First Chronicles 29, and we're going to have a. I'm going to be skipping around a lot, and hope what I say tonight will have a meaning for y'all, and y'all pray for me. But in First Chronicles chapter 29, as Brother Nathan would say, it's on page 488, if you have a Scofield Bible, and of course he was. You might say that's Old Testament. It is Old Testament. But it doesn't make any difference. It's still God's Word. And it always will be God's Word. But he was talking here and he said, the goal, well, what happened was, going back a little bit, David was talking and about the things going on. And a lot of it, you can relate to what's going on in our country today. But he said, the goal for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificer. And who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, were the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Now I looked up that word concentrate, consecrate or consecrated. It means to devote or to set apart for some definite purpose, or to devote anything to God, worship and service. And I thought about it. How are we dedicated to doing what God wants us to do? Are we concentrated doing what God wants us to do? Are we really going about it with, the best, I say, me the best we can? You know, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was set apart for our sins. And He was God's perfect sacrifice. He was God's only Son. And when I thought about this, and I read Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We're not under law. We're not under the Beatitudes. Now, a lot of people say, well, you can live by the Beatitudes and you go to heaven. Beg your pardon. You can't live by the Ten Commandments and go to heaven. Bless God, it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people realize this, and I hope they do, I hope a lot of people realize it, being a Christian is the greatest thing in the world, people. And living for God is the best thing in the world. You know, Christ had a will. Really, He did. He had a will. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And He brought our salvation by His blood at Calvary, like I said. And in Hebrews chapter 9, if you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. I think I can turn to it right quick. Maybe I can anyway. Well, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16 and 17, 18 and 22. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is with force after men are dead. Otherwise, there's no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Then in verse 22 it says, almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. When we read this, and you think about how a testament, like I said, is not in effect after one's dead, and the high point in the Old Testament, the priests were always offering sacrifices of blood, always offering sacrifices of blood. But the Lord, and they had to do that for themselves to be cleansed. But people, Christ never offered a sacrifice for Himself. He never went to the temple and offered a lamb. As far as I know, you look it up, I don't think He ever did. Why? He was the perfect lamb. He didn't need to offer any sacrifice. He never sinned. You might say, what about the Bible where it says sin? Our sins were laid upon Him. Our sins were laid upon Him, but He did not sin. He was God. He was God in the flesh, people. He couldn't sin. I mean, that's the bottom line. He couldn't sin. And when I was studying this morning, I thought about how perfect He was. And if you look, turn to Hebrews chapter 7, right, but the page right for that. And in Hebrews 7 and verse 28, the Bible says, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is concentrated forevermore. One sin, one time, our sins were paid for at Calvary. Our sins, all of them, of course, were paid for at Calvary. And when you look in chapter 10, and go back to chapter 10, and verse 7, the Bible says, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And when he had, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin." If you want to get to see just how much they offered, I think a bath, one of the pots that they use, instead of gallons, I think they said baths. But some of those pots, even at the marriage feast, I looked it up, some of those pots helped, firkins or something, I'm not sure what it was. But anyway, 8 gallons. And some of them, anyway, if you figure it up and look at it, they had 180 gallons of wine at that wedding. And I thought to myself, my goodness, 180 gallons of wine. But what I'm trying to get at is this. When you read over in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, when Solomon is building the temple, so forth and so on, and the basin that they had underneath that caught the blood of the sacrifices, it held thousands of gallons. There was 3 bulls on this side, 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 and that brazen thing sat down on top of those bulls. And can you imagine all day long people coming in there and those priests offering that blood continuously, offering that blood continuously, all the time. That's all they did. That's why Brother Nathan and I got to thinking about that, and I couldn't find it in there. He was right, but about there wasn't no chair anywhere for the priest to sit down. They didn't have time to sit down. I mean, thousands of sheep were offered all the time, and I thought about that, how Jesus offered himself one time, and the Bible says by his own blood he entered in. He entered in right in the presence of the Father. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, if you read that, Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, the Bible says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the God, who also make intercession for us." When Jesus died and went back to the Heavenly Father, he sat down, it was finished. Thank God it was finished. And the next time we see him, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, in Ecclesiastes 2, 8 through 9, we read, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's nothing we can boast. We can't walk up to somebody and say, "I'm a Christian, look at me." We can't do that, people. I mean, I know some people act like they do, but my righteousness is filthy rags, and I've got nothing to brag about as far as I know. I've never done anything that would bring that about. But people, sin will bring a little pleasure, but sin has no future. Sin's got no future, people. You might say, what about people that's going to die maybe 20, 30 years from now if the Lord will come back? That's future maybe for them, but you never know. Just like those 22 people, I think, died in that accident up there in New York. You know, they didn't know. Either they was going to a brewery or coming back from a brewery at a party. People, if they could change their mind now, I'm sure things would be different. I'm not saying they're lost, I'm not saying they're safe. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, a Christian ain't got no business at a brewery. Amen. He's got no business having these wine tears. Bless God. That just don't set well with me. People, the wages of sin is death. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think I can get to it right quick. I had all these marked, believe it or not, I really did. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. People, God gives commands. He don't make requests. God gives commands. Do this. Do that. He didn't say, now if you want to, do this. No, God, but this idea that people said, you know, I'm going to get away with this and so forth and so on, and they said, whether it be good or bad, we're going to have to give an account to it someday. As Christians, our works are going to be judged at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, for things that we've done or we didn't do it right, you might say. And I believe one of the saddest verses in the Bible is John 5:40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. That's a sad verse, people. You won't come to me that you might have life. Jesus was talking here. People, before God ever made this earth, people, it was settled. And it was settled that Jesus was going to come pay a sin debt. It was in the counsel of God before when the world was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was already settled in the counsel of God that His Son, the perfect sacrifice, would come to this earth and die for people like me and you. In 1 Peter, if you got your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 25, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Boy, you think about that. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel message, people, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He said right here, He said it's going to endure forever. I seen some World War II pictures the other day. They were showing the pictures. And they showed over in Germany in 1938, I think it was, 37, huge bonfires. They were burning books. Burning books. You might say, well, I've seen some books that need to be burned. I have too. But they were burning books, trying to destroy really the things. There's a lot of them religious books, I'm sure. And if people in America today, if they had their word, if they had their will about us as Christians, you wouldn't have a Bible. I mean, they hate God that much. They hate God. And, we need to have some consecration there to do God's work. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 6 through 8, I don't know if I've got that marked or not. Isaiah, hold on a minute, let me see if I got it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The grass withered, flower faded, but the word of God shall stand forever. Aren't you glad you got something you can depend on? God's word. Got something you can depend on. You talk about a man as he sees grass, but the way it, you know how you cut it and something, it comes back up, but God's word is going to stand, people. Believing the gospel, we become children of God, and we're responsible to do right in the sight of God. We're responsible for how we... I'm not responsible for you, and you're not responsible for me, and that's the way it ought to be. Each of us ought to be responsible for God for our own doings or what we do, you know. Our pastor said the other day, and I thought it was two or three Sundays ago, said, why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourself together. I've heard a man, I think a brother, maybe me and David or me and Leo or something, I don't know what it was. We talked to a man, and he said, I like to go down there and sit in the woods on Sunday morning. I go down and turn the bucket over and sit on there, and I sit on that, and I just worship God. And he's a liar. these liar people. You might say, can you worship God out in the woods? You can, but people, you know, church means something to me. This people in church, which make up the church, people who make up the church. You know, we need to come to church to worship and praise God, and we ought to respect the people that your brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to respect the preachers that come, the missionaries that come, and the Sunday school teachers, and everybody's trying to do God's work. People, we need to hold them up and lift them up and pray for them. Like I say, this church, this building, will pass away someday. It's going to pass away. It's going to be gone. And people, but Christians are going to live forever. Christians are going to live forever. There's a remedy for sin. You have to trust Jesus as your Savior. And a lot of people say, well, I've got away with things and so forth and so on. You know, but you're going to stand at one of the two judgments, the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. And either way, I've heard people say, well, if that happens, if I have to stand before God, I just want to tell Him a few things. Blasphemy, people. You're not going to tell God anything. You're not going to stand there and tell God, I'm going to do this. Look what I did, so forth and so on. It'd be like, the man Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar still wearing, and his knees smoked together when he saw a handwriting on the wall. Well, people, let me tell you something. A handwriting's on the wall for America. A handwriting's on the wall, people. People, America better repent and get right with God. The days are getting short. Days are getting short. Somebody asked an old Indian one time a question or something. He said, there's too many sunsets gone beyond the mountain. I can't go back and do undo what I did, so forth and so on. But people, I can't go back and do what happened yesterday or the day before or last week. But we can go press forward toward the mark and do what we can. Make mistakes. You will make mistakes. I'll make mistakes. Doesn't make any difference. If we still going to have this old carnal body in us, and we're going to make mistakes. But bless God, we've got somebody we can go to and say, Lord, I messed up again. Lord, I messed up again. Will you help me? Would you forgive me for this? And if we're sincere as a Christian and praying and asking God for things, people, God will give us. God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. You might say, well, I prayed prayers and they haven't been answered yet. Well, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. You know, we was talking Tuesday over there and trying to get some different contracts printed up and so forth and so on. And the guy that does it runs a printing machine. They call him Gutenberg. it tickles me, but every little thing, people, the lady that was over there sweeping up, that means something. She was doing something for God. We can all do something for God. You know, our life is laid out before us, people. But we just need to seek God and seek His face and find out just exactly what He wants us to do. You might say, well, you're too old to be doing that now. You never get too old to find out what God's will is. You never get too old. Pray about everything. I was talking to one of my friends that live up in the town's name. I can't pronounce it right. It's called Pooftown, North Carolina. P-O-O-F, something like that, the way it's spelled. He needed a car. He needed a car, and he kept praying about it. He said he'd been praying about over a month and looking at different cars. And he said he prayed about it and said, the guy called him and said, if you want this car, said, come over. He said, we'll work things out. And he went over there, and the guy said, what do you think? And he said, I'll take these papers home, and I'll pray about it. And the guy said, you're going to pray about it? He said, yeah, I'm going to pray about it. He said, if God don't give me the right answer, I'm not going to get the car. If He does, I'll get the car. But I'm going to pray about it. People, we need to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Why would you want to pray for a hydraulic motor to start working? So you can get out more gospel tracts. You know, why do you pray for you? I pray for our country, and read it when I pray for about this. They talk about, you've been hearing about several years now about the weather and how the earth is changing and getting hotter and hotter and so forth and so on. Not as hot as it's going to get. And brother, it's fixing to get hot. You think about it. You know, a third part of the trees are going to be burned up. The fish in the sea is going to die. You're talking about a stink? But it's going to be hot. And then hailstones weigh almost 100 pounds falling on people. 100-pound hailstone is pretty big. You say, how do you know all that's going to happen? Read God's Word. It's right here in the book. It's right here in the book. I told somebody the other night, you read this book right here. When Jesus, in Matthew and Mark, when he went to the wedding over at Luke, his ministry started with a wedding. It's going to end with a wedding. Look at Revelation. We started at a wedding. He's going to end it at a wedding. In the beginning, God. People, you got to believe in God before you can get saved. If a person says, I don't believe in God, you can give him the gospel message. But if he don't believe in God, he's not going to do him any good. You must believe. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. That song we sang, but I want to see my Savior first of all. I told my wife here a while back, we was talking, I said, you know, it'd be good to see mom and dad and grandpa and aunts and uncles and whatever the case may be, if they're saved and gone to heaven, already gone on. It'd be that. But people, my desire is to see him first of all. That's my desire. But while we're down here, we need to serve him the best way we can and do what we can to get the gospel message out. We need to pray for our revival coming up. It's not going to be here in the next couple of weeks, people. It won't be long. I hope revival starts before he ever gets here. I'm not running now. I want to see revival start before he ever gets here. For the last few weeks, I wished I could run. I'd jump a few pews, I think. But that'd be a horrible sight to have to call an ambulance in here for me. But you might say, but I feel like sometime just getting up and just shouting, hallelujah, anyhow, amen. We're talking about that message that he brought here a while back. Hallelujah, anyhow. No matter what happens to you, people, shout the victory. The best is yet to come when we walk through heaven's gate. For the first time I'll see Jesus, I can hardly wait. He'll take me to my mansion and say, this is your home. And I have a feeling in my heart, the best is yet to come. Brother Truett Harris said, first, when he started preaching, a woman came by at homecoming one time, and they didn't have plastic forks like we do, so forth and so on. But she told him, said, save your fork. The best is yet to come. And the reason that was, they was going to have some strawberry shortcake, and they told him to save your fork, you know. The best is yet to come. People, don't get discouraged. And I told Dr. Williams, Dr. Oliver Green wrote a book one time on worry, faith versus worry. That worry was a sin. People, that's my biggest sin right now, I guess, is worry. I worry about my people, my family most of all. My family needs to be in church. I've got grandkids and kids that need to be in church. I'm not talking about coming to church on Sunday morning a couple of times a month. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, whenever the case may be. I want to see my family in church. But they don't, you know, Grandpa can't go down there and beat them. If they'd let me bring the kids to church, I'd go pick them up on Sunday morning. I got no problem with that. I'd drive to East Hall and pick up the kids, bring them to church, if they'd let me do it. But the main thing is, people, serve God. Remember, it's to God and not to man that you must give an account to someday. I don't have to give an account to my wife. I mean, I do now, but I won't have to then. It'll be all over with, people. Jesus is coming back. The Bible says, in hours you think not, the Son of Man's coming. Consecrate yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up of a morning. Raise your hands. God, help me today. Help me today. Help me today. You can be like, what's your name over here? I've got Dean Bryant, yeah. Private Bryant reporting for duty, sir. You got it. I like that. You know, bless God, we need every day we need to serve God in the best way we can. If you make a mistake, keep going. Keep going. Run the race that's set before you. Don't give up. Just run the race the best way you can. You might say, yeah, but I may come in last. You may come in last, but at least you're going to heaven. They've made a lot of people finish a race before I do, but I'm still going to heaven. People, that's something the devil can't take away from you. He cannot take your salvation away from you. He can cause a lot of misery in your families with sickness and things like that. But people, he can never touch your salvation. That old song says, the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. That's the only fire I'll ever feel. That's God. What does that guy say? That'll make you swing out over hell on a wet noodle, holler and boo at the devil. You know, I mean, just get glad of what you. Just be glad of what Jesus did for you at Calvary. The best is yet to come. Consecrate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him what He wants in your life. Amen. We're gonna have prayer, and then do we take up a missionary off on a Wednesday night? We don't do. Okay, Sunday night. Okay.